So my talk is going to be the utility of an overlapping panel design in a sister survey known as the National Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, supported by the Department of Health and Human Services. And in particular, it'll be focused on its utility for redesign issues with a focus on analytically health insurance coverage. I'll be talking about clearly the need for accurate estimates of health insurance to inform healthcare policy and practice, give you an overview of the design of the Medical Care Expenditure Panel Survey, the overlapping panel design, its analytical capacity, talk about some of the non-response and post-stratification adjustments, so you'll have a flavor even before we did this redesign in 2007 that I'll talk about, which was a CAPI upgrade and simultaneously a redesign to the sample, how we were able to use the overlapping panel design to assess the impact of the non-response adjustments. I'll walk you through an evaluation of the impact of the design modifications on coverage estimates, and I'll take it a little bit further in terms of multivariate analysis to look for whether or not there was a difference based on the redesign. So the survey itself is an ongoing annual survey conducted every year, roughly 14,000 households, 33,000 individuals, to get detailed information on healthcare utilization, expenditures, sources of payment, access to care, utilization, and we do have some metrics on healthcare quality. In addition to just aggregate estimates, this would be the survey that would look at the distribution of expenditures. The top 1% tied to 23% of expenditures, the bottom 50% of Americans spending only 3% in a given year. It would also look at transitions in a given year in terms of family structure, changes in employment, and how that impacts on coverage, and how that impacts on health. And in essence, while it's an annual survey, it is a two-year panel design, so we actually get longitudinal estimates. In addition to person and family estimates, one could reconfigure family units for analytical units that would be health insurance, eligibility units, or tax filing units, and that's really important for policy determination. Again, it tracks changes in insurance coverage over time, and one other benefit is that for efficiency's sake, rather than going out and taking a large sample to oversample population subgroups, we link to an ongoing survey supported by the National Center for Health Statistics, the National Health Interview Survey. So we actually have a baseline time point, we do some sampling, and then we introduce our sample. So it's a multi-stage probability design. An oversample of minorities and other target groups. In the past, it would be individuals predicted to be in low-income status because that's a transitional state, predicted to have high expenditures. There's, for each panel, continuous data collection over a 2.5-year period, 5 in-person computer-assisted personal interviews, and the overlapping panel design has 2 independent representations of the U.S. population to produce estimates. And this gives you a flavor of panel 11, where the first round of data collection, the interviews are going on, referencing back to January 1. In round 2, interviews start at the end of the first round, but they go back to the reference period from the first round. In the third round, the interviews are closed out. They actually start in the subsequent year, and they ask back. And so it's 3 rounds of data collection for 1 year. And then you could see a new panel is introduced. You could see this a little more clearly visually, where we look at this sample from the 2007 HIS. We introduce a panel to get 2008 estimates using 3 rounds of data collection. We continue on through 2009, closing out in 2010 to get the last round of information. And in 2008, we sample from the Health Interview Survey, again, a fresh sample. So we have a sample that has a higher response rate and a pooled sample, and it helps us to look at the accuracy of the estimates. And analytically, I'm going to focus most of the discussion on insurance coverage estimates. And the survey itself has a very strong capacity for the standard estimates of the uninsured population and by particular time points, because the definition and the type of estimates you get on insurance coverage very sensitive to the window of time people are talking about. And in policy formulation, you'll see how that could vary tremendously. More focused research in terms of insurance coverage would be people have options in the employment sector to take coverage. Many people don't make that choice. What's the behavioral consequences or the decision-making that goes into that process? What are the financial consequences of being uninsured? What are the burdens people have? And the relationship of being uninsured and health status. So going back to the design, to give you a flavor of the high response rates, but it is panel design, and we have a high response rate from the health interview survey, and we have multiple rounds of data collection, three additional contacts for the new panel, and three additional subsequent contact for an old panel. So the overall first year of a new panel, multiplicatively, this is just not for one interview, is around 66 to 71%. Very good for a panel survey. And just looking at it out of context doesn't give you the flavor of all the non-response and information adjustments we put into these estimates. And then the second year with an old panel, again, drops a bit because of the additional attrition. And then we do our post-survey adjustments, both at the household unit and at the person level. And coming from HIS, rather than an area design where you're going to the household, have no information other than geographics, we have this wealth of socio-demographic information. For demographics, the traditional age, race, ethnicity, gender, for household characteristics, the size, issues of phones, whether the PSU is a large one, a self-representing one, socioeconomic variables such as poverty status, income, clearly geographical dimensions, health status, and then we've added another set of variables related to the interview and some questions about survey participation that are sensitive. You could see questions on language, U.S. citizenship, whether there was the type of home, whether there was a phone, medical expenses, the another indicator for income, household ownership, and then some metrics in terms of disability, nights in the hospital, and degrees of coverage. And the standard, I had an equation in this talk, the standard non-response adjustments within weighting class adjustments. Each panel is weighted separately for non-response adjustment. There's post-stratification each year to the current population survey, post-stratified on age, race, ethnicity, gender, region, metro status, and poverty status. We then go after the first round to factors associated with attrition. And clearly, family size, they learn it's a very long interview, so big families drop out at faster rates. The elderly stay in at higher rates because of the salience of the expenditure survey. In the large metro areas and in the Northeast, we have lower participation rates. Unmarried individuals don't participate at high rates. And issues in terms of high expenditures, people with burdens in and out of hospitals tend to not be at the highest rate of response. So our estimates for insurance coverage could be at first part of the year, for the entire year, for two consecutive years, for a point in time, and with the linkage to the health interview survey, we could do 4 years of being continuously uninsured. And just to give you a flavor of different estimates by different time definitions, if we look at any time in a calendar year for 2006, we have 68 million Americans under 65. If you look at the first half of the year, 50, but if you count differently and require a full year period of being without coverage, it drops to 37. If we look over a window that's something like 4 years in duration, it's below 20 million. So now let me turn to the MEPS redesign. In 2007, we carried forward HIS sample redesign that was introduced in 2006. So we took their sample in 2006, and the new panel that came in, again, it's representing the same population, but it's fresher segments, fresher listings, and different PSUs in the area. At the same time, we had generally the same interview, but we were using a very old DOS platform, and we upgraded to a Windows-based environment, and there could be some unintended consequences with the reconfiguration of the interview. So we had two simultaneous redesign activities, but we had the benefit of this overlapping panel design where the second year, panel 11, kept the old sample and the old CAPI, and the new panel introduced both new segments. So with the overlapping panel design, the first year of the new combined with the second year was used for annual data. But before we did that, we looked at the two components separately. And you would compare the coverage estimates based on the new design with the original design. In the comparisons on coverage, I'm going to look at full year coverage estimates, which would be looking at over the course of the year, people had some private coverage. These are mutually exclusive and exhaustive. They had public-only coverage during the year, or they were full year uninsured. And for the other comparison, it'll be first part of the calendar year, some private coverage, public-only coverage, and being uninsured. And then I'll move to more detailed model-based test for the redesign effects. Now, let me just show you what we used to do before 2007. We did similar analyses, but the intent was to see whether or not, because of lower response rates and greater attrition, the non-response adjustments were doing their jobs, and to see whether or not the estimates were speaking to each other. We would anticipate if there was a problem, there would probably be some problems with the accuracy with the lower response rate. But year after year, and these are for the first part of the year, there were no differentials in the estimates, suggesting that the non-response adjustments were working as they intended to be applied. Then in 2007, when we took the two panels apart, there was the observation that the joint impact of the sample redesign, which was representing the same population, and the recapi, which was basically the same survey instrument, had fairly significantly different estimates of the uninsured. And this information led us to further adjustments to use the HIS for additional post-stratification back to the HIS on coverage estimates to stabilize the difference. And you could see by 2008, while visually there still appears to be a marked difference, it was well within the confidence intervals. There was not a significant difference. When we moved to the full year estimates, we had introduced those adjustments on the health insurance factors built into the round one, the first point in time estimates, and you could see there was no significant differences across the full year estimates of being uninsured or public only or any private. Just a parallel exercise was that we wanted to go even further, and we wanted to look at whether there was some unintended results from the impact of whether it was the redesign or in years prior to the redesign, the impact of differential non-response. So we did a standard model in terms of a logistic regression where the outcome would be uninsured versus some coverage, and you would have the standard measures that would go into the prediction model. And this was really looking for a panel effect before the redesign. This was what we would do just to see for non-response adjustments. And as we would hope, all these variables, gender, race, ethnicity, health status, limitation in activity, going down to income, healthcare expenditures, all highly significant predictors. The panel classification was not a significant predictor, and that's exactly what we wanted to see. So again, this was very symptomatic of very sound non-response adjustments. And then we just continued it on. You would see similar factors going in for the prediction, generally all significant, year after year, non-significance. Once you see the multivariate construct and you're factoring in all the other controls in your outcome, and here the logistic regression is looking at full year uninsured versus all other. And you could see we had fortunately adjusted for the differentials, and clearly it was less non-significant than in other years, but we had moved in the direction we wanted to. In a similar analysis where the outcome variable is some private versus all other, which would include public or uninsured, again, you could see all the predictor factors generally stable, and even before 2007, there was no significance, but there seemed to be something we should look at from the panels. And this really is very informative, as you have two representations of the population. This was something I did on utilization, but it generally shows the same stability. I won't bother you with that. But just one other example of the utility of the overlapping panel design. And this goes back to the Department of Health and Human Services putting out a number of survey estimates of the uninsured. Like I said, we do it in the medical expenditure panel survey, but the survey we're linked to, the health interview survey, does it as well. And there are design differences, and there are slight differences in the periodicity of the estimates. So we were looking at a 24-month window. Clearly, MEPS year one and MEPS year two covers that. But we could also overlap MEPS year one with HIS the prior year, and the window would not be exactly 24 months, but very close to do the analysis to see the trends. So what our data sources were two data sources, the HIS and MEPS, HIS year one and then MEPS year two. And then for the same time period, MEPS year one and year two. And the years we were looking at were 2002, 2003. We also did the analysis again with earlier years. And the intent was to do a multinomial logistic regression. We had the two-year period of insurance status, and the categories were uninsured versus insured, or discontinuous coverage versus insured, and the standard correlates are there. And if you look at the two designs, this is estimates of being uninsured for 2 years by an age breakdown. You could see that MEPS to MEPS over the two-year period have higher estimates of being uninsured over the, that two-year window. For insured status, it's pretty stable across the two, but for the uninsured, even though the pattern's the same, there were significant differentials. And you know, again, the patterns are right on, but there was a modest difference in the patterns. And poverty status, similar results. And in the multivariate analysis for the multinomial logistic regression, generally the same coefficients were holding, and the signs of the coefficients and generally the power, the p-values that we were seeing were very similar. But there were differentials, and some of the differences in explaining the estimates were that HIS is a cross-sectional survey with a single interview versus a longitudinal survey. The time period is in reference to the interview date versus the calendar year. Uninsured for us for more than 12 months in HIS rather than a 12-month window. And for the MEPS to MEPS period, there were no gaps. For HIS, there was sometimes a gap between 3 and 11 months to the MEPS survey. And so the longer the window of time, the less likely you are to be full year uninsured. So clearly you should have lower estimates from the HIS to MEPS estimates that would be put out. Again, this was really more to see whether or not the patterns were similar, that the general estimates that were being put out for policy formulation were in resonance, and they were. So in conclusion, I've given you a flavor of the need for really accurate and reliable health insurance coverage estimates to inform policy. The design of the MEPS and analytical capacity with its overlapping panel design has been given an overview, and you see its general strengths for improving the accuracy of the estimates. I've walked through some of the statistical, methodological, operational strategies we have for adjusting for non-response and attrition. You've seen the analysis of the impact of the redesign on coverage estimates and the companion impact of model-based studies. And I'm here to answer any questions on this one as opposed to the other one. So thank you. Yes? Okay, no, you're in Sudan. you basically have that structure built in. So I was adjusting for the survey design complexities, and because the two panels, once you got beyond the PSUs and the segments, were independent. But that higher structure was definitely correlated, and and we did adjust for that. But that's a very good question. I didn't stress the underlying statistical. Yeah. Yes.
You identified, when you tried to bring it back in mind, you identified the same predictors of the outcome in each year. What were the coefficients stable across years?
The coefficients were generally stable. That is a very good point. I made more of a point in terms of, you know, what was significant, but if you're using that to actually predict for a future period or the impact of that factor, and when I was doing the analysis, all those coefficients are there. A number of these are in health services research and outcomes methodology, so I'm going to look at that a little bit more carefully. I can't say definitively, you know, how closely they were, but that's a very good point. Yes.
And when the survey changed, was that larger survey changed at all?
The larger survey, the sample design changed. They were keeping their CAPI going. But they noticed from the prior year of their survey in 2005 to 2006, a kink in their coverage estimates too. So, you know, it shouldn't have happened, but we're all of the opinion that we have a better sample now, because the older design was using segments that were 10 years old, and some of the adjustments we would make at the post-survey stage were much larger adjustments upward for coverage. So, but we HIS did notice a modest change based on their sample redesign, which we inherited, and it just carried on.
I recently went to a talk where they looked at estimating, I forget what the issue was, but they were looking at the subpopulation from NHS, NHIS, et cetera. Now, all the surveys use slightly different survey designs, and the answers could vary a lot, or did vary a lot across surveys, even though they're trying to estimate the U.S. population. So I'm wondering if
yeah, you know, in theory, when you have this representation of the population, all of them should be representing the population. But remember, there's differential over samples, there's differential non-response, and you just, you know, if everybody responded and you just estimated demographics, you should be getting aligned estimates. But it's just, yes. All these things are factored in, you could see the quirks of each of the surveys.
I was just wondering if it was maybe by bringing in the NHIS data, you can recorrect it.
Well, and that's what I try to do. And actually, it did stabilize once I brought that in, because those were additional variables outside. I don't want to adjust on my own survey, even though I could have adjusted the MEPS new panel to the old panel. I wanted to keep it pure. You know, that's it. At my disposal of like things I could do, but you really want two independent representations of the population. So, and that would take away some of the power, because now you're basing, you know, you don't really have the true analytic sample size, because you're basing it on one panel's estimates and correcting the second panel. So there are all these unintended consequences. We stayed away from that. Other questions? Sure. You know, it could, in terms of, now just to clarify, are you talking about issues in terms of the actual population construction, or are you talking about the health reform? Nobody, I can't look into a crystal ball, but I could tell you right now, in 2010, the survey, eventually when we get the data, will be looking at young adults 22 to 26 that can take up coverage from their parents. We could look at people who had chronic diseases who were uninsurable that could potentially get coverage. And most of the reform is not, the real coverage reform is going to hit in 2014 with the health insurance exchanges, the subsidies, the expansion of Medicaid. I don't have the crystal ball, but the surveys are meant, whatever legislation is in place, the surveys are supposed to provide the information for policy formulation. So if nothing changes, we'll have good answers from the survey. If things change, we'll put in new questions to try to capture those things. But that's a great question. Yes? Yeah, it is, and we do that, and again, like I added, we added in some additional adjustments rather than just accept the new design results. But there is a caveat that, you know, there was this redesign, but just like Vina was doing the pooling in HIS for 6 years, for many things in MEPS, we try to put out state estimates. And, you know, the survey gets a little bit light, and many people are using the pooling, and the estimates are fairly stable. So it's a wise strategy to continue to pool and go back. And, you know, you can contact me. My information's in the program, and the ARC website has a lot of material. It's www.ahrq.gov. So please thank the speakers for a very good, informative set of talks.